And welcome to our show, Geeks Are Wired Podcast, where we talk about video games, movies, TV, comic books, technology, and TLDR, the Internet of Things. And this week, we have Alex.
I'm a thing on the internet.
Yay, that's always good things. And another thing on the internet is a Jordan.
That's right. You'll find him under Googling pumping iron right now. It's a lie. You won't find me. No one cares, apparently. Yeah. You might find me. Geeks Are Wired pumping iron. Someone referred me now.
Just go to the wiki page. Put it in.
Yeah.
We need like a Wikia page for like deep cut fan lore of the Geeks Are Wired universe.
Who among them pumped iron for like 2 months?
Well, and then just like died.
That's right.
That'd be me. I died. I don't go to the gym anymore.
Well, the problem is
I was gonna die of diabetes at about 37 minutes. That's what's gonna happen.
Well, as long as you don't die from pumping iron like via injection, you're just pumping it into your system. Because that would
you're just taking like massive amounts of iron supplements.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah.
And I think someone else might have some good health advice on this podcast, or not.
Who dat?
The Bill.
It is a Bill.
The one and only?
Sure, if you say so.
Yeah, there's plenty of Bills. We don't have a monopoly on Bills.
No.
There's plenty of Bills, but not plenty of the Bill.
I'll go with the Bill.
Yeah.
You could trademark that.
Ooh. We'll put that on our Wikipedia page, too. Oh, I said look it up. I was like, is there? No, we do not have a Wikipedia page. I have not made one. Nobody on the show has made one, and none of our listeners has made one.
You should make one. Promote us.
Just, like, put its existence and then let people do as the scariness of it.
Just dedicate a day or so buffing it up. Like, you'll go into the biography of all the casts among Geeks Are Wired. Maybe embellish a little. I don't know. I
embellish bears. A lot.
Or a lot, yeah. Like, I once fought a bear. Like, I wrestled it. You could put that in there.
Ah.
Survived.
Apparently there's a lot of steps to start a Wikipedia page.
I killed a bear just by shoving iron supplements down its gullet.
Oh, man, bears. We saw a bear at Yellowstone.
Yes.
It was impressive.
It's actually a rare thing, usually. Well, at least within, like, you know, usually they're off, like, a mile. Like, see that black dot out there? That's a black bear.
I don't use this word often, but I think it would be fair to call the bear discombobulated at the time.
He just wanted to walk across the road.
Yeah, he was like, what's going on? I don't know. I'm a bear.
Yikes.
I know. Yeah, we walked up to it pretty close because we're not the brightest of people sometimes, I guess.
I was going to say, I don't think we want to condone that as advice, that you should walk up to bears when you see them.
No. Because their bear hugs hurt.
Well, I guess it's a primal human instinct to just, when you see a potentially angry bear, to want to approach it and maybe pet it a little. But no.
We didn't get that attention out of the bear.
That's right. Become friends. It's like, you could be my protector now. I think
We do not condone walking up to wildlife, petting it, hugging it, or anything. Or don't even put it in your vehicle. Let it be. It's wild. It knows what it needs to do.
Don't give it iron supplements.
Don't give it iron.
Don't yank at its tongue to test its patience. You don't do any of that.
If you need to take a picture, zoom on cameras are pretty good.
Make sure it's a good zoom, though.
Not digital. Optical zooms. Yeah.
So, yeah. And we also saw bison. Bison. That really is catchy to say.
It is.
Just want to keep saying that, actually.
We talked about it like 2 years ago on the podcast. Yeah. Way back when. When we bought our bison.
Back in the day. Yeah. The bison day. Well, now this is the new bison day that we can talk about 2 years from now. Back in the bison day.
Yes.
Yellowstone, circa.
When we'll be 7 years old instead of 5.
Oh.
We're almost going to start kindergarten.
That's right. We're good for our lunch boxes.
Yeah. Which is perfect for this podcast because it's immature.
Yep.
It's true. We're ready to get bullied. It's going to happen. Other podcasts a little older than us will kick us around as we're exposed to the great wide world out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Hey, we've already been running longer than many, many TV shows, so right. I guess that goes for us.
We're becoming graybeards?
Yes.
Nice.
So, we have... Oh, I didn't put it in the show notes. I actually really, really wanted to start with this. They have announced the new Harry Potter book. Fantastic Beasts.
Oh!
So, Fantastic Beasts 2... they've talked about it. They've released information about it. And I really thought through on the show notes. I have to go with from memory. Oh, no. Okay.
Bill.
So they're going to put in Yungledore.
Really?
Yes.
That's exciting.
So any idea who could play a Yungledore?
I think the same guy who played old Dumbledore.
Nope.
He's ageless.
Nope.
He's born looking 80.
How about the Pope?
The current Pope, I think so.
No, the young Pope.
Oh, Jude Law.
Jude Law. See, he plays a young Pope. He plays a young Dumbledore.
You got me excited there, Bill. I was like, the Pope is really expanding his role. Like, he's presiding over religion, occasionally doing the moonlighting acting job. I think that's good news.
That would be.
Yeah. So, is that speculative, or is that actually going to be the thing? Jude Law, young Dumbledore?
Yes, that's it.
Okay.
There's it is official, that's not speculative, that he is going to be playing it, and because, yeah, Captain Jack Black is going to, Captain Jack is going to escape from jail using his magical powers.
Good times. Hey, Alex, are you a Potter?
Oh, no. Not I, sir. I got an F in my pottery class.
Well, guess you can't have them all.
I'm definitely a muggle.
You're a muggle?
Oh. Yep.
Through and through.
But did you see the last Harry Potter movie?
I actually haven't even watched the Harry Potter movie.
None of them?
Nope.
Oh.
You should marathon it. Like, you have an empty, say, you're... downtime or something like that, and you want to fill a few dozen hours.
I could watch Harry Potter and the Empty Beer Can on Netflix, or I could watch Harry Potter and the Shoes That Don't Fit, Harry Potter and the Filing Cabinet That Doesn't Close Quite Right.
You know, it's interesting.
I heard those are the best three.
The interesting thing is that it's good to watch Harry Potter while all those things are in action. You have your empty beer can, your shoes that don't fit, and you have an open filing cabinet that just kind of adds to the whole ambience.
Yeah,
it's a lot. I watched Swiss Army Man. That's Harry Potter, basically, right?
Alex, that's not mentioned anywhere around me.
Daniel Radcliffe is clearly magical in that movie. Ergo, it is like the sequel after the last Harry Potter movie.
Wait, I thought The Lady in Black was the last Harry Potter movie, the sequel after. Oh, no, it was Horns.
Horns, yeah. I haven't
Wait,
seen
that, was a
that
good
one.
That one's actually kind of good. It's weird, but it's good.
You know, the book is written by Stephen King's son,
ooh,
Joe Hill.
Well, unlike his father, his books translate well into movies.
Yeah, that is a Stephen King problem.
I like how Joe Hill, like, writes her in the name Joe Hill, so no one ever associates him with Stephen King, but everyone refers to him as Stephen King's son, Joe Hill. It's like a Richard Bachman kind of deal.
Yeah,
he didn't quite succeed like Nicolas Cage. Nicolas Cage isn't the... You know, Francis Ford Coppola's nephew, Nicolas Cage. So it's true. It kind of misfired, but I guess he's overshadowed by his father too much. He'll have to live with that. And his
one crappy thing is, like, one of the two good Stephen King movies that people always forget to mention is The Running Man. Or one of the four good Stephen King movies is Running Man, and people forget of it because it's under Richard Bachman.
Yeah, Running Man. And of course, other ones that you're talking about have to be Thinner. Like, that's a great movie, right?
Oh, yeah, Thinner. I forgot about Thinner. I love Thinner so much.
Yeah, that's a movie to watch when you're very, very inebriated, speaking of empty cans. But, okay, so what would you say the other three movies are? Like, Shawshank Redemption, of course.
Yeah,
okay,
Shawshank, yes. Green Mile, as a fan of that, and Shining.
What about Carrie?
Oh yeah, Carrie's another one. You know what? He gets a bad rap for bad movies because there have been a lot of really great movies adapted.
Yeah, particularly early on. I agree with your Shining assessment. Yeah, and Misery. I liked Misery.
Oh, Misery's good too. I liked Maximum Overdrive. That's another good one.
I was just talking about that because you know our electronics is doing their own things.
There's Stand By Me. That was a good movie.
Like, two out of the three Carries have been good. Like, there have been multiple Carries. And one of them, like, one of them sucked, and people remember that Atwa as being the sucky one. But, yeah, there's two good ones, too.
Children of the Corn and Cujo. Ah. Dreamcatcher.
Dreamcatcher was weird.
The Mist was good.
Wasn't Dreamcatcher the one with the ass aliens?
Yeah. Yeah,
really?
It was.
Wow, I really do not remember that.
You can say.
It was pretty terrible.
All I remember is, like, the one guy that had the everything in his little mind castle. Like,
was Morgan Freeman in it? I can't remember. I feel like he was in it.
Seems like something he could be in.
In Dreamcatcher? Yes.
He was. Yeah. He was Colonel Abraham Curtis.
I don't remember him in there. Basically, all I remember for that movie is the cabin in the woods. Like, that's all I really remember from that movie. And the butt aliens.
I like how we all remember basically different things in that movie.
Morgan Freeman, a butt alien, and Mr. Gray.
Also, Punisher, he was in the movie.
Yeah.
And Donnie Wahlberg, the lesser of the Wahlbergs. Sorry, Donnie. I know you're listening. Attentive audience. No offense.
Someone, Jason Lee from Mallrats.
That's right. I think it was My Name is Earl guy, too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what were the bad Stephen King movies? Because, like, we've named off a ton of good ones, but having a hard time remembering what the bad ones were. Like, so bad they're not, like, not so bad that they're good, but just, like, bad.
Okay, Creepshow. One and two.
I don't remember Creepshow.
I saw Creepshow. The comic book was good.
I don't remember Creepshow being too bad. I actually kind of liked it.
Oh. It was like it felt more like a Stephen King ripoff.
I want to list Pet Sematary, but that's it's good.
I wasn't a fan of Pet Sematary.
It was really bad, it was entertainingly bad. The second one had Clancy Brown in it and was even worse, but still pretty entertainingly bad.
Okay,
maybe that's the problem with all Stephen King stuff that's bad. It's like so bad it's good, and people just expect it all to be The Shining, so as in it's just so good it's good. I mean, accelerationism can be okay in movies.
Maybe it's just they're kind of so The Dead Zone.
I like that movie, actually, The Dead Zone. Christopher Walken, before he became the zany guy.
Actually, anything, but this is the problem with movies, anything with a sequel number in it. Pet Sematary 2? No. No, lots of no. Mm. But I don't think that was actually based off of a book.
Bill, this reference will elude you because you haven't seen any of the movies but Godfather 2. Good sequel.
I've seen enough to not want to watch any of them.
No!
The Mummy 2 was good in comparison to the first one because it expanded.
What do you guys think are unlikely sequels? Sequels that probably won't be made. Oh,
I got a terrible movie of his. Ready?
What's that?
Lawnmower Man.
Oh, yep. That was bad.
That was pretty bad.
That was terrible.
Stephen King actually tried to get his name removed from that because it had pretty much nothing at all to do with his book and he hated it.
That's the problem.
Did you guys know that there's an SNES game developed off of the Lawnmower Man movie property?
Yes.
I can believe it.
Apparently, like, it's a popular game for Let's Players because the game is so brutally difficult. And it's a little drab to watch, but for an SNES game, it was kind of pretty. But, yeah, there are a lot of people do it as a Let's Play game because it's just so incredibly hard.
Yeah.
Hey, Pierce Brosnan was in that.
I know.
Another Stephen King movie with Pierce Brosnan, The Langoliers. Remember that one?
He was in that?
Yeah, he was the pilot.
I don't remember that. I've seen The Langoliers. They made Desperation? Wow.
I haven't watched Desperation. I've wanted to. That was like the second Stephen King book I ever read.
Yeah, because he did Desperation. What was The Regulator? Was it The Regulator? It was the Richard Bachman one that was sort of like mirror image of Desperation. I think it was The Regulators.
I didn't watch it.
Well, I don't think they made a movie out of it. Yeah. But we somehow managed our epic Stephen King discussion. How do we get to this point, actually?
I don't know how we got to it, actually. Well, but maybe we'll just rewind the podcast and figure
Fantastic
that out.
Fantastic Beasts and then naturally Stephen King.
Of course. But it's books. It's about books. All the books.
Stephen King likes J.K. Rowling. So they're each other.
Yeah, there you go.
They're buds. Apparently. Twitter buds.
I have no clue. All right, well, let's continue on then. Fantastic Beasts, though. J.K. Rowling ended up saying that the film will open in 1927, a few months after Newt helped to unveil and capture the infamous dark wizard Grindelwald. However, as he promised he would, Grindelwald has made a dramatic escape and has been gathering more followers to his cause, elevating wizards above all non-magical beings. The only one who might be able to stop him is the wizard once called his dearest friend, Albus Dumbledore. Okay, Dumbledore. But Dumbledore will need help from wizards who had thwarted Grindelwald once before, his former student Newt Scamander. The adventurers reunite Newt with Tina, Queenie, and Jacob, which is kind of nice. They're all coming back together. But his mission will also test their loyalty as they face new perils in an increasingly dangerous and divided wizarding world. So yeah, it expands on that, and I'm excited.
Yeah, David Yates is being the good Michael Bay because his career is basically Harry Potter now.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, because he started directing, I think, with the fifth movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been directing them ever since, and they're good movies. So, yeah. Unlike, because I have to savage him every time he's mentioned, Michael Bay. Sorry, yeah. Michael Bay, you're not a good director. You're rich, you're successful, people like you, but...
People like the explosions.
Yeah, it's unfair.
It happens. All right. What's the other stuff we have going on? We'll move to Netflix. Netflix has a lot of real things going on. They're making a Death Note movie, live action movie. They dropped the trailer. What do you guys think?
I actually didn't watch it. I saw a still from it, and the still I saw was of the crappy demon dude that gives crappy guy the crappy book. And it actually looks like visually it looks pretty good. It looks a lot like the anime. Like they got the colors right, and the costume look good, and all that fun stuff.
It seemed... go ahead.
You should watch the trailer, though, Alex. I'm curious. Like, you should... I was...
Is it trash? Because that's kind of the reason I like Death Note.
Well, it's...
They changed the plot.
Well, somewhat.
No. They changed that plot.
They changed a lot. That's true. But, yeah, just look at the YouTube people who liked it versus disliked it. I think it's like...
Did you actually look at the...
Yeah, I watched the chat.
No, I know you saw the chat.
Oh,
but...
yeah, damn. It's...
Like, or you, what people are talking about?
No, it's like at 35% like.
Ah.
Yeah, people are. No,
that's more than that. It's closer than that. Yeah, it's like a 45.
I was reading it graphically. I didn't see the numbers.
Yeah.
It's weird to make a live action adaptation of like an anime that's like notoriously popular with, I guess, like snobs. Because well, I mean, if you're an edgelord anime snob, you're going to love Death Note. So if they're gonna adapt anything as a live action thing, that just seems like super risky. I know there's like a Japanese TV show, but I mean they have like less of a edgelord snob problem in anime than we do with folks that's popular with over here.
Yeah, it's true. And people who object to the looser adaptation, they can watch the very loyal adaptation of the anime itself. So
yeah,
one doesn't take away from the other. Oh, by the way, I noticed Castlevania. That's already renewed for a second season.
Yeah, it just came out today.
It's weird. I just watched the Jamie. It ends at like 4 episodes. And I mean, clearly it's like, I don't think the whole season has dropped, but clearly they're going somewhere with it.
Is it good?
I enjoyed it. Jamie said it was stupid. she's not wrong, but I also kind of like some of the stupidness. I will say this about it. It is like well done. Like for in terms of what they lifted from the source material, and like the budget they had and produced the animation, both those are good. So if that's what you care about, you're probably going to like it. But yeah, the dialogue and the the dialogue is really dumb. Like so dumb it's good. Like it's a bunch of like tacky one-liners and like quips and like the usual stuff that can kind of take people out of the moment, especially like a 15th century vampire hunter story. But I actually kind of liked it.
I'll have to give it. You haven't watched it yet, Bill?
No. I've been working all day.
Yeah, I've been pretty busy myself. Pumping iron. Got to mention
straight that to the veins.
It's good. It's a rush. It's a rush.
No, that's what Alex is saying. I am slightly worried. I might enjoy it for its quippy one-liners and goofiness, but I never really played the games.
Really?
Yeah.
You should try to find like Symphony of the Night.
Yeah.
It's a good game.
So I'm not sure if I'm going to like, you know, if I'm going to relate to it enough.
Well, if you can relate to difficulty of the day, because it's a difficult game, and side-scrolling and beautiful music.
Well, I like side-scrollers.
Yeah. Well, that's...
I think that's the action kind of fits the, especially like Symphony of the Night's visual style. Like, I could definitely tell, like, when they're trying to do the visual design for this, they're looking at, like, the later Castlevania games. At least the ones that Igarashi had a hand in, because like all like super gothic, and there's like a bunch of like machinery all over the place, and like all the costumes and stuff like there's a lot of flourish on all the character designs. Like everyone looks kind of like sort of like if someone was going to try to dress up like a stripper but be 15th century themed, everybody's dressed that way.
I really want to watch this now.
It's really pretty to look at. Like the action's very good. Like the action's very good, but yeah, I don't know. Like I'm a Castlevania fan, so I'm pretty much gonna like it even if it's just awful. So I'd actually probably say Jamie's opinion is probably more valid because she, as far as I know, the only Castlevania games she ever played are the ones for the 64. No reaction.
Yeah, well,
I'm really surprised there's no reaction to that, because usually you say Castlevania 64 and people just like freak out. But it's she wasn't a huge fan of it. But I mean, like it is admittedly very stupid. Like Trevor Belmont, the main character from it, is kind of a huge douchebag. But it also kind of fits too, because if you think about it, guy walks in Dracula's house and murders everybody in it. They're kind of a douchebag. So it fits the Trevor Belmont, so like really conceited and kind of stupid.
I still want to watch it. Like, 15th century strippers cast just got my attention. I want to watch a show where the cast is 15th century strippers.
Alucard is wearing hip huggers with a thong over the top. It's pretty
I can't say no
out there.
To that.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. So are they hour-long episodes?
No, they're really short. It felt like it's... I'm guessing maybe it's 30 minutes, but felt really short. Like every episode, like I want to say almost 20 minutes, but I didn't actually look at the wrong time.
I feel like I could knock that 4 episodes, about 2 hours-ish. Yeah, I think I'm going to have to, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, definitely give it like watch the first episode. If the first episode doesn't hook you, it's probably not going to be your thing. Dracula is really sympathetic in it, which is kind of nice, but And they introduced Simon, but like it for the A plot's completely introduced in the first episode, and then like the B and the C plots are like the next two episodes.
I have to ask Dracula how he's voiced. Is it "I've come to suck your blood"?
So he looks super goofy. Like, he definitely looks like a Muppet because he has these monster like Nosferatu nails and like big dumb teeth. And he has, like, this stupid villain goatee. But the voice actor actually sounds okay. Like, he doesn't sound ridiculous. Like, nobody's got, like, a ridiculous fake Romanian accent. There's, like there's an indication that... as far as I can tell, like, none of these... like, nothing is, like, distinctly from, like an actual real-world area. Like, they have... it's, like, set in a fake country. And there's, like, a group of people that are vaguely Romani. But... not exactly. Like, pretty much everyone has like a like either European or Australian accent. Hmm. And by European, I mean it's like vaguely European. Like, they just add accents to just weird words at random. It's not super consistent, but it doesn't really like get in the way, because like you're watching a vampire that lives like in a Howl's Moving Castle that's really mad about like a crappy bishop.
Actually, the guy who voices Dracula, Graham McTavish, is a Scottish dude. He's actually a pretty good actor. He's an Outlander, and I'm not a fan of the show, but he does a good job in that. So,
He was also one of the dwarves in The Hobbit. He also has voiced a lot of things, so he's done other stuff before, like in the Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes. He's done Loki. He's done lots and lots of voices previous.
The nice thing is Dracula doesn't chew up the scene when he's like really subdued, which is really different from Symphony of the Night.
That is true.
Dracula's ridiculous in Symphony of the Night. It's like he can't deliver a line without like shouting it.
Well, that's good then. So they chose somebody well, and like, so some of the voice actors in this were pretty like they're also kind of older. Like the elder is. Tony Amendola. I think I remember him from like Zorro.
That's a killer goatee.
I know.
Yeah, the goatees, they're loose of the goatees. Everybody gets a goatee in this.
Yeah.
Like I guess that's the thing in the 15th century. That's what you got.
Well, razors were hard. Like, you cut easily. Well, it's usually dull blades. So, yeah, people just do. Oh, look at that guy.
Oh, Matt Prewer.
Yeah.
The bishop.
So apparently the actors are also forced to have really awesome facial. He is Max Head.
No, he was not Max Headroom. Do not. No, Max Headroom, he may have been like some of the stuff on it, but no, Max Headroom, I forgot his name. He's on Eureka and Orphan Black.
Huh.
I can't think of his name.
That's just what it says. Look, Matt Fruver. Max Headroom.
Really?
Yeah.
I must be mixing up who I was thinking then.
Yeah, so Max Headroom is on Dracula. It's Castlevania.
He's the bishop.
Oh, I'll see if I can stick this in the show notes. But I just looked up a Polygon article on Castlevania on Netflix, and it is like 23 to 30 minutes. But they actually talked to Igarashi to build the timeline for the movie. Which is kind of cool, because he doesn't even work for Konami anymore.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's really weird. Like, that's sort of like if they made a Metal Gear movie and they got Hideo Kojima instead of talking to Konami. Which, I mean, is probably a good thing. I don't think anybody wants to talk to Konami.
Oh, man, Konami. I am curious how their pachinko is going, because they sacrificed everything for it.
I don't know. They do things like, I think they're just like gaslighting people who like video games, because they released a new Bomberman after they fired Hideo Kojima.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they bought Hudson Soft and like, well, we're never going to see Bomberman again. And then they released a good Bomberman game shortly after firing Hideo Kojima, or make him quit or whatever it was that they did.
I just feel like they're very tired of success, and they just had a board meeting. And
you know, that's one good way to guarantee you on success, release a Bomberman game. I feel so bad for Bomberman. There have been so many good games, but Hudson Soft like died a very slow, agonizing death for trying to breathe life into a game series that nobody is buying for who knows what reason.
I did like it back in the day, but it is somewhat aged.
Maybe that's the problem. Like, it's if you own a Bomberman, you don't have to play the later ones.
Alex, like, don't worry. It's one of those games
that you own one from like the 1980s or the 90s. You don't have to play like the 3D ones. They don't give you anything. The old ones are just as fun.
I feel like Bomberman will make its comeback with advanced VR, where you can have realistic effects as you get to blow your friends apart, tossing bombs their way, and they just scream horrified and bloodied.
They're first stuck. Person Bomberman would be awesome because he couldn't see the map. Like, you just walk around a corner like, well, I'm dead.
that would like a 3D or...
Yeah, Bomberman World War II version.
That's what Konami should do. They should make a pachinko machine that uses the Fox engine, and you play Bomberman in the pachinko machine in first person.
Oh.
It'll happen.
Somebody will do it. Hey, if they can make Mario...
Konami will.
They own
the IPs and want a pachinko machine, so they'd do it.
All right. I'll finish up with our Netflix for this segment, and... Sense8. Did any of you guys watch any of it?
I watched 4 episodes of the first season.
Right, you should keep going. Sir. I burned through all of the season. It took a little bit. I actually heard that it was canceled before I finished up the second season. I was like, well, you know, let's keep going. Because there was a lot of rage. Like, why? You can't do this. And, like, you know, people are, like, begging Netflix to keep it going. And I can see why. You know, it's because they shoot on location. They go around the world. It is an expensive show to do. And I was like, oh, I wonder why the rage. Finished up the episode or finished up the second season, and I understood the rage. They left it on like the biggest of big cliffhangers ever. Like, it was just like, I am ready for season 3, except for I know it's dead. And I'm like, so sad. But luckily Netflix has agreed to give them a 2-hour episode to wrap it up.
Yeah, I actually read an article where Lana Wachowski was being interviewed, and she was emphasizing how much of their time and effort and how this had been one of the most meaningful productions they had ever engaged in, and how absolutely crushing it was to have it canceled. But yeah, fortunately, I'm curious, because I know that the original plan was to have it be 5 seasons long.
Oh, wow. I could see that the rate they were kind of going, building it up and doing all this, I could see it taking that long. And the story that, like, they were really building up on the story and everything was just kind of growing on each other. I do have to admit, it can be a lot of mental attention span going on because they're, like, when they're talking to each other, especially, you know, like the cluster of 8, they can... If I'm in my room and they've come to me, I'm talking out loud to space, it looks like. And vice versa. If I end up mentally transporting myself to them, they're talking to space. Like, they can see me standing there, but I'm not really there. So now they're, but when they're, so if I go elsewhere, I'm just kind of like chilling. I'm not doing much. I don't look like I'm doing anything. They end up having these conversations where they're constantly hopscotching around the world, talking to each other, and it can be quite a sensory overload sometimes. But
well, it's kind of a somewhat disturbing trend that Netflix has begun on, and that is prematurely canceling shows. They're being a fox. they're doing this. They're hacking shows. Well, not.
No. They're doing better than Fox. This actually made it 2 seasons.
That is true. That is true.
And they're letting them wrap it up.
Yeah, that's good of them. But I don't know. I the biggest fear is you have a good show and not enough people watch it, and then the show is just canceled. And so far, my favorite channel of all time, HBO, has been really, really good, at least. Even shows no one watches, they stick with it.
And shows that everyone watches, they make 5 more shows to spin off of it.
Actually, they're only making 1 spin off, but they have 5 shows in production to compete against each other.
Ah.
Yeah, so that's their intention, because they don't want to oversaturate. That's 5 shows would be insane. But yeah, March.
What do you mean? Marvel and DC are both doing that.
Yeah, HBO. They're mm-hmm. not prostituting themselves out, though. They want the legitimate, hard-won show to reign over the rest of the pack.
One show to rule them all.
Hopefully. Hopefully.
All right. But it'll be nice. I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be intense for them to try to wrap it up in 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad they let them do it. I'm glad they let them do a Firefly.
Yeah. Serenity.
Yep. All right. So with that, though, we're going to jump into our sponsor with AMC Pine Ridge 11, located at 4355 Yellowstone Avenue. And they all AMCs have the Stubs program where you can join for free and you get a free large popcorn on your birthday. But if you sign up for the Premier program, you get a free large popcorn and a soda on your birthday. And your points also add up quite a bit faster, which is nice for free stuff later or saving up the points. And you also don't have to pay any processing fees if you buy your tickets online, either through AMC or through Fandango or through anybody else. But with that, we're going to go with Alex. You've been playing the DLC content for the new Zelda.
That I have. Have any of the other guys actually downloaded it yet or tried it?
I was prepping to download it, but I haven't tried it yet. Because I bought the season pass, so
I
already paid. I don't have to pay. What did you say it was just for the this
bucks.
One demo? 20 bucks?
Yep.
I didn't even know how
much. It's worth it. It's the DLC is the season pass that you bought. I think the only thing they've released so far is just the they've included a few new items and the hard mode, and also like this challenge mode you can go to make the Master Sword suck less. And it's all pretty great. Like, just what they've released like in this batch for the season pass kind of made it worth it for me, because I stopped playing the game after I beat it the first time, because you get like to a certain point in the game, Link's just so overpowered, like nothing's fun anymore. So starting over in hard mode is actually kind of fun.
All right. So you actually like it start all over?
Yeah, they don't let you carry over your progress if you switch to hard mode. They call it master mode, which is stupid, but if you switch over to master mode, they don't let you carry any of your progress over, which, I mean, I guess that's fair, because it would still be really easy if you had like all the stuff that you acquired in like normal mode, because you could build up Link in normal mode and then play hard mode and be like super easy. So it's kind of cool starting over from scratch and trying to get through the game again.
Yeah, I would really like to do that. I haven't downloaded it yet, but I do find this Zelda to be one of the easier Zeldas. I mean, there's a brief period where it is kind of more challenging as you're exploring the world, but
it's weird. Yeah. The difficulty curve like goes down.
Yeah, it really
does.
Game
gets so much easier the later you get.
It's incredibly easy, especially if you get certain equipment that enhances your attack or any of that. And also, if you find the fairies, then you can buffer up your equipment to such a ridiculous degree that, it's like, I remember, when I was just hacking through seas of guardians and it was no problem. And so I was like, yep, this game, there's no enemy the white Lynel still proves somewhat challenging.
Yeah. And he's just challenging it. And like, you'll break every weapon in your inventory killing him. But like, even so, like Link can take so much damage at the point you're fighting white Lynels that it's a lot easier.
Yeah.
Like you're more or less fighting like the toughest punching bag in Hyrule.
Yeah. Is there an enemy more difficult than the white Lynels?
There might be in the hard mode. I'm not that far in it yet. I still have like 4 hearts and like 2 stamina containers, but I don't think so. I think like in terms of just like amount of damage they take, the white Lynels take more than like anything besides like Ganon.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't even know if Ganon takes that many hits. Like Ganon's like, he's hard to hit, but he doesn't take that many hits to bring him down.
Yeah, I mean, I basically had to have a bow that was like 60 in power, and I was shooting bomb arrows at its head, and it still took a while to take it down. And so, white Lynels are pretty crazy. But, actually, regular Lynels, they're not bad at all. Like, you just freeze them up, hack them at the back, and then ride them a little and hack them, and then they're gone.
Yeah, they're... They aren't too bad in the regular game. On hard mode, they, for some reason, you don't see, like, the basic Lynels. Like, you see, like, medium and, like, white Lynels. Like, all the Lynels that are, like, that take a good amount of time, you'll break a couple weapons on, you see those ones, and then the white Lynels, too.
Oh, so the blue Lynels?
Yeah, you basically don't see any of the, whatever the crappiest one is. Like, same for, like, all the other enemies. Like, you don't have, like, any red Begoblins or red Moblins. It's all just, like, the, like, medium difficulty and up for everything.
Yeah, that would... Yeah, I kind of want hard mode now. Like, I still haven't done absolutely everything in my game, and I plan on doing all the stuff before I finally take on Ganon, but...
You should definitely do the get the hard mode then, because there's some side quests that are actually fun. Like, you can get a Korok mask that jiggles when you're near Koroks, which, depending on how much you would want the golden poop reward from Hestu, that may actually be worth the $20 alone, just so you can find all the Koroks.
No, scratch that. I don't want my golden poo. Like, that's the one thing, that's where I draw the line, because I hear there, what is it, 400 Korok seeds?
900. There are 900.
No, it's not happening. I have been all over, and I've collected maybe 50 of them. Like, I go and see rocks, and I pull them up, but no.
And watch lizards run away.
Sometimes lizards run away. It's pretty nice. I catch the lizards. I eat them. I don't feel guilt because
I like that the Korok quests, that like the Koroks finding them is essentially like how Nintendo took like a couple of reject WarioWare games and turned it into a massive side quest in Zelda. It's just like Link's running around doing WarioWare games to find weird little spirits that give him seeds.
Some of them are really involved too. I was surprised. Like some of them have that Batman training feel where you have to use your hang glider and the appropriate maneuvering over a course for hang gliding. And
there's also you need to like turn on your metal shots. Moving, so you had to put the metal chunk inside the log, and you wouldn't have seen it if you wouldn't have turned it on.
Yeah,
I like the when you like climb a really tall mountain expecting there'd be great treasure up there. You get there and there's just like one rock on top of it. You're like, ugh. You lift that rock, you get your seed, and then you keep going.
Yeah, so I like puzzles, but I'm not too keen on the scavenger stuff where it's less about skill and it's more about just luckily finding something. Although there is some skill, like you can estimate the certain areas are higher probability for Korok discovery. Than
you have to like, I guess it's just like an endurance test and how long you can hold it. How long you can give your attention to the game and the surroundings and Link's surroundings in the game. Like, that's more or less what is just an endurance test to see how much stuff you notice.
Yeah.
So the mask takes some of the guesswork out of that. So I guess that's kind of nice. I already got the Korok mask. That's like the first thing I got from the DLC.
Yeah, that would help a lot. But no, I want to take this moment again to say Breath of the Wild. If anyone has not gotten that game, then get the game. Seriously.
Totally worth it.
Steal from your neighbor, whatever. Rob a convenience store.
They probably don't have them at convenience stores, so probably not a good idea to tell our listeners to go rob convenience stores.
However, you need to get money, like bribe your parents.
There you go.
Say you'll take do something.
You'll take out the trash.
That's right.
For like the rest of your life.
Exactly.
There you go.
Do that.
And then get the game and then just stop taking out the trash. No. But hide the game so your parents can't take it away from you.
It's mobile, so yeah, you can port it in a nice, safe location.
Yep.
So yeah, kids, do that. Like, lie, cheat, steal, however you can get your hands on
no,
it.
No,
play, or do all that. Do that. Get it honestly if possible.
It's usually better that way. More enjoyable. All right. Well, how about a new TV show has been announced. The Jetsons.
I'm looking at the show notes right now. Are you serious?
Yes, I am serious. They don't have a channel for it to go on.
The Jetsons. That's the Hanna-Barbera Jetsons.
There's going to be a live-action Jetsons.
Produced by the Back to the Future guy.
Yeah! By Robert Zemeckis.
He's also the Castaway guy.
Yeah.
Wilson!
You know, the original Flintstones movie wasn't too bad. Maybe it'll be about the same about the same level, but...
Well, what's weird is I think is they're doing a live-action TV show, not a... Like, the Flintstones, like the movie.
I think John Goodman's looking for a job right now. He's lost weight.
They remake the Flintstones movie, and it's just the exact same cast of Fred. Like, Fred's just super old in it. It's like the gritty Logan-esque reboot of the Flintstones movie franchise.
Yeah. It's
true life on the streets in the future.
It needs to be post-apocalyptic. None of this fancy flying vehicles with cogs and Cogsworth versus what was it? I forgot the other company.
Sprockets.
Yeah, Spaceless Sprockets versus Cogsworth, whatever his company was.
Cogsworth's Cogs.
Yeah.
Christian Post. Oh man, reading some of these articles, it's pretty funny.
I really hope they keep the aesthetic of like 1960s futurism. And then, like, they recognize that, like, the future came, it was nothing like 1960s futurism, but then it somehow led to this path of the 1960s futurism, including massive computers.
Yeah, I look forward to this in a somewhat horrified way. I think I'll watch it sort of with my eyes somewhat closed, like, maybe peeping through them, peering through my hand, like, my heart palpitating. As I truly embrace the horror that this is inevitably going to be.
If they fully confront the ridiculousness of taking a property like the Jetsons and trying to stretch it over like modern sensibilities, I think it's going to break apart. If they fully embrace how ridiculous it is, I think it'll be fine. But if they try to like adapt it somehow and like modernize the future, if I can say that. It might actually be okay, but otherwise, yeah, it's gonna have troubles. Like I kind of want to see that too, but I'm so scared that because I wasn't like a huge Jetsons fan, but they're screwed people's childhoods with that.
Yeah, but they've also done this. Like I said, they've done it with lots of that, you know, the Hanna-Barbera stuff and all that. You know, like Scooby-Doo was turned into a live action movie, and like all these were movies: the Flintstones, Smurfs. Gem and the Holograms.
Yeah, that's a weird movie. Have you seen that?
No, because I figured it was basically going to be a rinse and repeat of Josie and the Pussycats live action TV show, and I forget, there was another one that was similar to it. And I was like, I've seen this movie.
It's so weird. It's really odd. I didn't see Josie and the Pussycats, but the Gem movie is really odd. Like it feels like if they took Hannah Montana, and then gave it like the Disney Cinematic Universe lens effects and made it look super gritty and gave it this really dark broody tone, but then like made this everything else that is like follows the subject matter and like styled like a Hannah Montana property. That's essentially what it is. It's really odd. It feels like something really oppressive is going to happen, like at any second. It never does.
Huh. But Hannah Montana was a Disney Lens property.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you were like if they put the Hannah Montana put a lens. Yes. So like, yeah, I can see that.
No. I said Disney. Sorry. DC Cinematic Universe.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense. The DC. Cause I was like.
Yeah, it's
like,
you remember how Wonder Woman had like an inch of dust over the lens the entire way, and like everything looked super dark, like it was never daytime. Same deal in this. It was just weirdly dark the whole way through.
Hmm.
It's like they just forgot to turn the lights on. Like they didn't have any lights on the set.
But they spent all the money on everything else, but they can't turn on the lights
on the terrible CGI.
Yes. All right, so I don't know. I might just go back and remember the nostalgia. I don't know. I can't see them doing well. And plus, also like, who would they even get for these?
Yeah. Again, John Goodman. He'd make a great.
He'd make a good Rosie.
Rosie. Yeah. Stick him in a robot suit. Has the talent to sound effeminate.
Yeah. If he wasn't dead, Philip Seymour Hoffman would make a great Cogsworth.
Yeah.
They could get Danny DeVito to be Spacely.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, that would work out really well.
Who could they get for Elroy? They should have Michael Cera be Elroy. Like, he's just cast as a child in everything for the rest of eternity.
Oh, man. Yeah, this is such a bad idea. Jetsons. What do people think?
They have to get a TV show to take it, or a TV channel to take it first. And I'm not thinking they're going to succeed well, but...
Oh, they're going to try to put on... it's not going to be like a streaming service. They're going to put on broadcast television?
I don't know. They have
shopping around.
Yeah, they're shopping. They don't have anybody officially yet. Either that or nobody's taking it. They're like, Netflix, 70% of the profits is yours? No? Okay. Hulu. You're like Netflix, but you know, you kind of buy shows that Netflix doesn't. How about 80%? No? Okay. ABC.
I have a hard time seeing anybody but like Hulu pick this up.
Yeah, this does seem more like a Hulu. I can see Amazon, maybe.
Yeah, but okay. Yeah, Amazon.
Amazon is kind of in like how... is in the same position as I think Hulu, where they're like, we can make original shows, we promise, like, because they have what, The Tick is getting ready to come out here soon. I'm excited actually, for that.
Second thought, Turner Broadcasting I think owns all the rights to Hanna-Barbera properties. It make more sense to put on TBS. Like, I don't know how it would end up on like a Hulu and TBS is like a combo. That's really weird. Like, maybe someone else owns the rights to the Jetsons before Hanna-Barbera.
Warner Brothers.
Yeah, I mean, they're producing it, but like in terms of like who owns the IP to Jetsons, I guess we just look that up, figure out who it is.
A lot of it says it's Warner Brothers is the one who's shopping around for it.
Yeah, I don't doubt they produce it. Like, it'd be great if they did like a CW serial.
Yeah, that would be funny.
done exactly like Arrow, but it just happens to be like the Jetsons. All the set pieces are from the Jetsons.
Yeah. Well, you know, they would take people from their other shows because once you're on CW, you're guaranteed. Or no, they could take the cast from Archie and the Gang, whatever that one.
Archie Bunker?
Yeah, they made that TV show. They take the cast from that, shift it over to Jetsons.
They get Carol O'Connor. He's George Jetson.
There we go.
Remember me from Heat of the Night? I'm totally different now. I'm actually dead, really. But, yeah. But, so Warner Brothers, they're desperate.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
I do want it on CW. They'll have that obligatory love triangle or quadrangle or hexangle or I think, octangle.
All I remember is ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah. That means I love you.
No, there's going to be 8 people. They love each other and love the other person who loves the other person. CW, they can't help themselves. George will have a thing for Rosie. His wife will object because that's kind of inappropriate to have a thing for robots. And he'll say, don't judge me.
Futurama already did that.
Yeah, they did do that. Futurama was great.
Yeah, their game just came out. There's an app game. It's kind of fun.
Is it?
Yeah, it loads up stuff on the bottom of the screen. Like, if device catches on, or if your device catches on fire, stop playing the game.
And don't use Samsung.
Yeah. If fire happens, swipe right. Turn off airplane mode and turn on. I forgot another mode. There's another one. They have all that at the bottom when the game starts off. It's kind of fun. But
it looks like Warner Brothers does own Hanna-Barbera, who then owns the Jetsons. So yeah, that's why they're producing it, shopping around.
Ah.
Wait a second, Bill. I noticed that we skipped something, and that makes me suspicious. Did you watch Spider-Man?
Why is it suspicious?
Because I recall going to a theater where no one was there when I anticipated people being there. And so...
I know. I was planning on going over the weekend. So you're the reviewer on this one for the temporary. And then next week, we're really going to review it.
All I'll say is, because I can be succinct, it's my second favorite Spider-Man movie.
Ooh, what's your first?
Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, good choice. That is a good, good
I agree.
Overall superhero movie.
Yeah. I liked it. But this one, it's all about the charm. Like, it's a very light movie. I read a review that compared it to a John Hughes movie, and that's basically what this is. Yeah. This is John Hughes movie.
The quirky one-liner Spider-Man. And
yeah, that's what it nice. Is. And even the villain is somewhat generic, but they do...
Well, he's Batman. What do you expect?
Yeah, he's the awesome, angry old Batman. But they do something really interesting with the character. And so, yeah, I really enjoyed that movie. It was really fun. And yeah, Tom Hollander is the best Spider-Man. I'm ready to say that. He's amazingly good. So
fine.
Yeah, but if you like, it's not serious at all. It's just fun. And that's fine by me because that fits into the Marvel thing. That's the route I think they should go. They're not made for darkness. They're not Logan.
Yeah, so, well, Spider-Man isn't dark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be. It's just so really fun.
The quirky one-liner is fun. And just like every other Marvel thing, when they make a movie, they throw a cartoon on Disney XD. So there's a new cartoon also.
Okay.
So... it'll be fun. It's, you know, we'll see how that goes. Because they don't always stick around. They're like, hey, remember our movie? We have more. They're even doing that with Star Wars. They have, they're releasing, because now they're releasing these shorts. And they're more like, or it's called Force of Destiny, but they're shorts, kind of like Homestar Runner, like the Flash style look. So it's a good thing they're short because they don't look the greatest.
Mm-hmm.
But they still have like, oh, remember when Rey was, you know, trying to do her thing and we jump scenes? Well, here's some stuff that happened in between.
Oh, that's interesting.
But, you know, some of them are better actors over voice actors. Like, they're kind of learning how to become a voice actor because they actually have, you know, Rey, you know, they have her playing her own character and all
really?
That. Mm-hmm. Leia is the voice actor from all the previous, so she's been doing it for a while, but they're just little shorts. And.
Well, yeah, that's right. The second movie is coming out this December, isn't it?
Yes.
It's exciting.
The Last Jedi.
The Last Jedi, meaning many of them, or The Last Jedi, meaning there's one of them.
There can only be one.
There can only be one.
There
Jedi.
Can only be one. Oh. They're like Highlanders. They're like the immortals. They keep on beheading. They keep on chopping each other's right hand off.
You know, that's a fateful thing that Christopher Lambert was Highlander because there can only be one movie that was ever successful that he was in.
Yeah.
It was actually Highlander.
Depends on point of view or. Whether you're a fan of the series or the movies.
Well, he wasn't in the series, was he? I don't recall him being.
No, but the last movie was very much more like the series over the movies.
Yeah, I don't know. I watched Highlander, The Final Dimension, and I nearly had a brain hemorrhage. And so I was like, which is surprising because I managed to survive the alleged second one.
What? I have no clue what you're talking about. There is no...
The people allege that there's a second one, but I think they just skipped to a third one that was just really horrible.
Yeah.
And then went to Final Dimension.
Aliens.
I know.
All right. Well, we probably should wrap things up. So, with famous last words.
What is a man?
Yeah, white Lymans. They're you don't mess with them. And if you do, you get their guts. It's really useful.
Aliens.
A miserable pile of secrets.